Psalm 78, and I just want to say thank you to all of you who in 2017 have sang a special. It has been a blessing to me, all of you who have just been willing and faithful to it. It's been a blessing to me, and it also allows you to hear other people than hearing me every once in a while, and so that's a blessing to everyone when you don't have to hear me. And so thank you to everyone for doing that. Let me get this off here. Psalm 78, a familiar portion of Scripture for all of you. We have spent some time here in recent months and excited about this morning's message. And have you, in the last couple of days, as you head into 2018, you may be asking the question, what can God do in 2018? You're thinking about 2017. I shared with our Sunday school class a little bit ago that they're going to hear Psalm 78 in the Sunday school hour and in the morning message, because this portion of Scripture, if you look at these verses and you see in Psalm 78 all that God is doing, in Psalm 78, it's just a reminder that He is powerful, that He is still God, that He is able to do all things. And you look at verse 19, we spent so much time on verse 19, and the Bible says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And that's where we spent most of our time in recent months when we spent time in Psalm 78. And we're not going to spend much time in Psalm 78. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. But as you prepare for 2018, maybe in your mind, you checked out of 2017 a couple weeks ago, and you just started going into hibernation until 2018 comes. Maybe that's the mindset that you had. You just said, I'm done with 2017. I'm waiting for 2018. Well, whatever the case may be, we spent some time in our Sunday school hour looking at what God can do in 2018. And the thing that is wonderful about our Savior is that He is the same all the time. You never have to wonder if He's going to work in 2018 or in 2019. He's going to work every single day, every single hour. He's going to be working. And you think about what He's capable of doing. You think about what He wants to do. And so in this portion of Scripture, we're going to look at some things. And really, very simple, the title of my message is, I Still Believe. I Still Believe. And so what are some things in 2017 that took place and that we saw God working and doing in not just our lives, not just our church, but all across this world? And we say, I still believe in 2017, though He did them in 2017, that He's going to continue to do them in 2018. We're going to look at some areas of Scripture and some portions of Scripture this morning, but look with me in Psalm 78. We're going to look at a couple of verses here, and I want us to understand that while we're looking at these things, and you may be tempted to ask yourself the same question, but I was sharing with our Sunday school hour, our Sunday school class, that in 2017, one thing that I have learned the most is to have a view of God that is always the same. You know, if you're not careful, in 2017, maybe you had a rough year. Maybe 2017, for some of you, was the best year ever. Maybe in 2016, you look back and you just keep looking at years. And maybe in 2017, your view of God was a view of goodness. Maybe your view of God was a view of helping you in pain. Your view of God may have been a view of struggle, whatever the case may be. Maybe you were going through. But when you find yourself studying the Word of God and you find yourself understanding who He is and what the Bible says about your God, what the Bible says about the Lord Himself, you understand that your view of God should always be the same. You see, when we start looking back and you start looking at your life and you start looking at your view of God in 2017, maybe your view of God in the month of January was struggle. Maybe your view of God in the month of March was love. And you know why your view of God is always different? It's because your emotions are affecting your view of God. Instead of the Word of God speaking to your heart and you understanding that He is holy all the time. He is righteous all the time. He is always a loving God. He is always praying for you. He is always a strengthening God. He is always a He's all of those things. And so in your life, I encourage yourself just as much as I encourage myself. In 2018, have a view of God that is consistent. Don't look at God in such a way that He is just one thing every once in a while. He is always the same. In every area of your life, He is always there. He is always working. Look with me in Psalm 78. The Bible says this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Skip with me up to verse 19. The Bible says this. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Two verses here in this portion of Scripture, and we'll look at some of the others here in a moment. But look with me in verse 7. The Bible says this, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And then verse 19, the Bible says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In 2017, the Lord has done great and mighty works in each of our lives. You can look back and you can start writing how the Lord has blessed, how the Lord has worked, how the Lord has answered prayers. You could thank Him for His safety. You could thank Him for blessings of your family. You could thank Him for your finance. You could go on and on and on. And you could just sit there and write thank you. But as you head into 2018, one of the things that is going to slip into your mind, you're going to head into 2018. January 1st will be the best day ever because it's a new year. You've got new goals. You've got new plans. You've got new wants. You've got new desires. You want to see the Lord work and you want to see things be accomplished in your life. January 1st, you're just going to have goals and you're going to be on a mission. But the very first moment that something bad happens, you're going to be tempted to forget what God did in 2017. The very first moment that something takes place and it's a tragedy or maybe it's a difficulty or maybe it's a temptation and you look back in 2017 and you say, well, why is this happening? It's only 4 days into 2018. Well, listen, God was faithful in 2017, so He's going to be faithful in those 4 days into 2018. And when you're a month in, He's going to be faithful. And when you're 2 months in, He's going to be faithful. And when you're halfway through the year on your vacation, He's going to be faithful. God's always faithful. And you look at these verses here, and the Bible says in verse 7 that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You're going to begin to ask that question in verse 19, can God? And so I want to encourage you in a couple of things that I truly believe. Maybe you're going to be asking questions. I want to share this with you real quick before we get into the first portion of this message this morning. I shared this with our Sunday school class. I got this new item over Christmas. Her name is Alexa. Any of you heard of the Echo Dot or the Echo or Alexa or Google, all those things? I hadn't really researched it. I was telling Kelly, this was 2 weeks ago. She was asking me if she would like it. And I said, I have no idea what it even does. Well, I was researching it for her and I told her, I said, I don't think you'll like it. I mean, I don't know what you would do with it. Well, the whole time that she was asking me if she would like it, I think she was researching if I would like it. Well, her brother had purchased it for me for Christmas. Alexa sits on our underneath our cabinets in our kitchen, and all I have to do is say Alexa, and she'll respond. We were sitting at her parents' house when I had first got the gift, and I was just setting it up, just going with it, seeing what it does, and I said, Alexa, sing Happy Birthday. She busts out in Happy Birthday, started singing Happy Birthday. I said, Alexa, what's the current weather? And she said, the current weather in Phoenix City is 54 degrees. I said, that's pretty cool. I said, Alexa, who is the richest man in the world? She said, the richest person in the world is the founder and CEO of Amazon. Makes sense. I said, you know, I could just ask her anything. We brought her home. I set her on our counter. I was at the store yesterday shopping, and Miss Kelly was going through our refrigerator, throwing things out, and she was sitting there. And she said, Alexa, add milk to the list. Well, on my phone, I have a little app. It's an Alexa app, and I can look through and see which groceries she's adding to a list. Usually, she'll send me a text message, and I have to look at the text message every time and see if I got it, and then look in the buggy, and it just gets annoying. And so, she is adding these items to this list. I'm halfway through, and she's adding items, and I have to go all the way across the other store back to the... And I sent her a text, and I said, stop adding items to this list. I've got to get out of here. But as I was talking to Alexa, I was sharing this with our Sunday school class. Alexa is not a spiritual gal. I asked her, I said, Alexa, what is John 3:16 in the King James Version? She says, everyone has their view on religion. I said, that's true. I said, Alexa, what is John 3:16 in the King James? She won't answer. She just won't. I said, okay. So we were just playing with it. I said, Alexa, should I transfer this amount or this amount to an account? And she says, I cannot answer that question. She just doesn't give advice. She won't give advice to certain things. And so I got to thinking, I love Alexa. She's fun to play with. She answers some questions. I can ask her a recipe. She'll give that to me. But she can't comfort me. Alexa, if I were dealing with a bad day, I couldn't go to Alexa and I couldn't say, Alexa, I just need you to comfort me. She's not going to comfort me. If I were to go to Alexa and I were to say, Alexa, I really just want you to give me some advice. She's not going to give me advice. I could go to Alexa and I could ask her to help me as I'm studying to remember certain things. And she might remember some, but she's not going to remember all those things. She's not going to give me verses. She already told me that. As much as I love Alexa, and the opportunity, that sounds weird saying that. I've only ever said I love Kelly. As much as I love the Echo Dot, and using that thing, and the questions that she answers, the help that she gives to certain things, there's a God in heaven who can answer any question I throw at him. There's a God in heaven who reminded me while messing around with that Echo Dot and trying to get familiar with it that I can go to prayer and he'll be personal with me. That I can go to him and ask him to help me with a situation and he'll give me the advice I need. That I can go ahead and ask the Lord to help me to understand this verse and he'll help me to understand this verse. Because you see, he's always the same. You see, he's a personal God. He's a faithful God to every single one of us. And so in 2018, I'm looking back in 2017 and I'm seeing all that God did. And I'm headed in 2018 saying, I still believe he can do this and do that and do this. The very first thing, if you will, look with me in the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to John 3:16. I still believe God will still save souls in 2018. The Bible says in John 3:16, if you'll flip over there with me, we'll flip over to a couple portions of Scripture this morning. John 3:16, everyone knows it. You could probably quote it this morning. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I truly believe that in 2018, God's going to still save souls. You see, in Psalm 78, they began asking that question, can God? They began asking that question. And if you look back in Psalm 78, you'll see in verse 7, the Bible says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Listen, as you head into 2018, have your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. As you head into 2018, remember what he did in 2017, and remember all that he's capable of, but expect even greater things from God in 2018. You see, God's not limited to what he can do. Sometimes we get carried away in our thinking sometimes, and we say, well, I just don't know if he's going to do it. Listen, it's not your decision to make if he's going to. If it's his will, he'll do it. And in 2018, we may be asking that question, well, I just don't know if that person's going to get saved. Listen, my father is still unsaved. He's as unsaved today as he was yesterday. And as we head into to January 1st of 2018, he's still going to be unsaved unless he gets saved in the next couple of hours. But I still believe my dad is going to get saved. Listen, it's not me talking myself into it. It's because I understand what the Word of God says. I understand that there's a God in heaven who loves my father and wants to save my father. I understand that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. He was born to die. And I understand that we've just come through Christmas season and we've celebrated the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been excited because we've been able to do that. And I'm understanding that he is going to get saved. Whether if it's in 2018 or 2019 or on, he's going to get saved. But I still believe in 2018 that God can still save souls. And listen, as Gateway Baptist Church, as we plan for 2018, we're going to be planning some of our outreach and how we can reach out to our community and how we can share the gospel with people. And when you're doing that, when you knock on a door, don't have the mindset of, I just don't, someone's not going to answer probably. Don't knock on a door and say, you know, I just don't think this person's in the mood to hear me. Well, they're probably not, but they need to. There are many people, listen, there are times when I was growing up when I didn't want to hear the gospel, but I needed to hear the gospel. There was a time when I was at church camp and I knew I was unsaved that I didn't want to be convicted. I was tired of hearing the gospel. My father-in-law was preaching the gospel nonstop. I was tired of hearing it because I convicted all the time, but I needed to hear that. And it wasn't until Kenny Baldwin preached a message and said one statement that changed my life, I'd rather go through the motions of being saved twice than the reality of going to hell once. I needed to hear that. I didn't want to hear that, but I needed to. And so when you're knocking on doors, when you are encouraged by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with someone, share it and have faith in God to save that soul. Believe that God can save that soul. You look at this portion of Scripture in Psalm 78, the Bible says, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows and turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works and the wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rocks and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. The second thing I believe God will do, if you will, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. I believe God in 2018 will still search hearts. I truly believe that in 2018 He's going to search our hearts. In 2018 He's going to get a hold of some hearts. In 2018 He's going to point some hearts in the right direction. In 2018 I truly believe that God's going to get a hold of one of our hearts and He's going to say, listen, you need to get this right. You need to get that right. You need to get this fixed. You need to get that point in the right direction. Jeremiah 17. The Bible says in verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, if you will, go with me to Psalm 139. Just a couple pages back. Psalm 139. The Bible says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In your personal life and in my personal life, Psalm 139, verse 23, can we pray this prayer and mean it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Many of you know Brother C.T. Townsend. You may not agree with everything he does. I don't agree with everything he does, but half the time we don't agree with everything anyone does. But he is a great preacher, a great man of God. I remember hearing a testimony of Brother C.T. He was talking about his life, and he was at a meeting. I can't remember the exact story. The story just popped up into my mind just this very moment, so if I don't get it down 100% correct, just bear with me. But I remember him telling the story of how he was at a meeting, and him and his wife went down to the altar. And him and his wife went down to the altar, and they began praying, and in their prayer they prayed, Lord, do whatever it takes. Lord, we want to be sold out completely. Lord, do whatever it takes. Lord, draw us near You. Lord, do whatever it takes. That's what he kept saying. They went back from that meeting, and his wife was currently pregnant. I can't remember. I think it was a little boy. His wife was pregnant, and usually he said he would go to the appointments with his wife. Well, this appointment that he decided he wasn't going to go to, he was waiting on his wife. It was just supposed to be a normal checkup. And usually she would call him right after the appointment. Well, he waited and waited and waited, and he said he didn't hear, so he figured he'd give her a call. He gave his wife a call, and as his wife was sitting there answering the phone call, she put him on speaker, and the doctor said, CT, is that you? He said, yes, doctor, it is. The doctor went on to say, CT, your son is not going to make it. As soon as he is born, he's going to die within a couple of minutes. He had some kind of condition. I can't remember if it was a heart condition or if it was just a condition all in itself, but he had a condition. Well, the baby was born and the baby passed away. This was just a couple of weeks, couple months away from being born, and so she went the entire term and then gave birth. They went that entire next year. He said his wife had become depressed at points in their life. He said it was one of the hardest years of his life. And it wasn't until a year later, he said, that he remembered that camp meeting or that youth rally or whatever meeting it was, down at that altar when he said, Lord, do whatever it takes. He said, I didn't realize it then, but I realized it a year later that God was doing whatever it took to get me where He wanted me. He went on to share testimony after testimony of how the Lord used that situation to help others and how the Lord used that situation in his wife's life and in his life to draw them closer to each other and draw them closer to the Lord. And He went on to share testimony after testimony, and many of you are familiar with him preaching at the Burlington Revival and over 1,200 people getting saved in a matter of weeks. I don't think if you were to ask CT, do you regret saying do whatever it takes? I don't think he'd say, I regret it. You know why? Because everything the Lord has done in his life is all glory to God. Whether it's hard times, whether it's good times, whether it's great times, whether it's bad times, all glory is given to God. All 1,200 of those souls that were saved, all glory goes to God. Because it wasn't CT that was doing anything. It was the gospel that was being preached. And I still believe in 2018 that lives will still be saved. I still believe that in 2018 there are people that are coming through this door in Gateway Baptist Church that are going to sit in our church. And they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to get saved. I believe that we're going to go out and knock on doors and that people are going to get saved. But I also believe that there are going to be some hearts that are searched. Can you find yourself at that altar? Can you evaluate? I have to evaluate my... Could I find myself at this altar saying, Lord, do whatever it takes? Could I imagine losing Holly before I get to actually meet her? Could I imagine losing Jackson if that were to happen? Could I imagine my wife, something happening to her? Could I imagine something happening to my family? Could I imagine something happening to this church? Could I say, Lord, do whatever it takes and actually mean it? You see, saying those words, Lord, do whatever it takes, requires you to search your heart and to see if your heart is lined up with what God has for your life. You see, because if doing whatever it takes means God has to do whatever it takes, then you're saying those words in faith, trusting Him. Saying, Lord, I understand what can happen. I understand what may happen, but Lord, still do whatever it takes. It's a frightening thing to think about, but one of the greatest things you can think about is, number one, this. He's going to be there to comfort you. He's going to be there to help you. He's going to be there to strengthen you. And I'm not saying by those words, saying, Lord, do whatever it takes, something bad would happen. I'm just saying, what if it did? Would you still say, Lord, do whatever it takes? Because in those words means, Lord, I'm having faith in you. Number three, I still believe God will still stir hearts. He's going to search your heart. And in those moments of searching your hearts, He's going to cleanse your heart. He's going to cleanse your heart. He's going to stir your heart. Go with me, if you would, for just a moment to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Many of you, like myself, you come out of a meeting, I come out of a meeting, and we get our hearts stirred to see God work. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. One more time, the Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. As you come through 2017, you look back and you see all that God was able to do. Maybe you had goals set in 2017 that you were praying about. Maybe you had plans that you were planning, and something might have happened. Maybe you stopped reading your Bible. Maybe you got away from the Lord. Maybe you stopped praying. Maybe whatever the case may be. And then you came through a meeting and He stirred your heart one more time to do more for Him. Well, listen, in 2018, find yourself in the Word of God, because every time you find yourself in the Word of God, He's seeking to stir your heart. And when you find yourself with a stirred heart, you find yourself desiring the things that God has for you. But you have to expect this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Listen, let's renew our spirits this morning. Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. As we think about these things and stirring our hearts, the Bible says in verse 4 of Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Now listen, one of the greatest blessings we can find ourselves doing and seeing God working is delighting ourselves in the Lord and what He has for us. Don't be fearful. Trust Him. Have faith. Allow Him to walk with you. Allow Him to work in your life and do things that only He can do. Delight yourself in Him. Allow Him to stir your heart. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'll read some of these verses as we just quickly fly through them. Psalm 29, the Bible says in verse 13, if you want to look there, you can. For the Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God wants to do a work. In 2017, as we close this year out, you can look back in every single area of your life, God was faithful. In your finances, in your family, in your health. We have some that are out this morning that are sick, but God's still faithful. You look back in how He helped some of you as teenagers in school. Some of you who have jobs, He was there to give you strength when you didn't want to go to work. And you still didn't want to go to work. And while you were at work, you didn't want to be at work. But He gave you the strength to do it. He gave you the strength to accomplish that. Listen. When you come to church and God is speaking to your heart and dealing with your heart, when you find yourself in your devotions, when you find yourself praying and just spending alone time with the Lord, He begins stirring that heart. And He says, oh, I have something for you. Hey, listen, you don't understand it, but I have something for you. Listen, you just need to let go of what you want and allow me to use you. I have something for you. And you start stirring your heart. And you get so close to saying, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. And then you pull back a little bit. Allow your heart to be stirred. God has something for every single one of us in 2018 that we haven't seen in 2017. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can you imagine all that you've seen in 2017 and all the great and mighty things He's done? Can you imagine that you haven't even seen some of the best He has for you? You haven't even seen some of those great and mighty things which thou knowest not? You haven't even seen all that He has for all of our lives? I believe God will still save souls in 2018. I believe God will still search hearts in 2017 or 2018. I believe God will still stir hearts in 2018. Number four, I believe God will still call servants to serve Him in 2018. Many of you, if not some of you, or all across this world, there are people saying, I want to serve Him, but I just don't know how. Well, listen, in 2018, just decide, Lord, I'm going to serve You. Lord, I'm going to get active in the work of the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do something. Listen, we're starting some new soul-winning efforts in which the entire church can get involved. If you aren't able to walk, if you aren't able to do the exercise, if you aren't able to participate in our door-to-door, we're going to involve something in which you can get involved in some soul-winning efforts. If you're not able to do something as far as the singing, if you're not very talented in singing, if you're not very talented in whatever area this church offers as far as the ministry, we're going to find something for you. Listen, there's something that every single Christian can do concerning serving the Lord. If you're not able to do anything, maybe you're a shy person. Listen, you can find yourself actively praying. If you're a shy person and you don't want to do anything in front of people, we can find you doing something behind the scenes. But you can find yourself serving actively in the Lord's work. I still believe in 2018 He's going to call lives, people to serve. I remember I had just gotten saved. I was just coming back from church camp. I was still debating on what I was going to do for my life. I wanted to play basketball. You all know that. I love basketball. And I enjoyed that. Speaking of basketball goal, we got Jackson a little Tugs basketball goal in our house. And it's more for me than him. I can walk back past that hallway, grab the basketball, shoot it as I'm walking through the kitchen and, you know, play with him. But he loves it. He'll grab that ball. He hasn't quite figured out that he has to throw it in there, so he'll walk it over there and he'll put his whole hand in there and then drop it through the net. He hasn't quite figured out that he can shoot it. But I remember growing up and wanting to play basketball. I just gotten saved. January 2010, the Lord's working on my heart, stirring my heart, searching my heart. I had just gotten saved. He says, I have something for you. I said, well, Lord, what is it? I had good influences in my life. I had people that were directing me in the right way. And I felt the Lord calling me to preach. I didn't even understand what preaching was. I remember the very first message after I had surrendered to the Lord, and I felt He was calling me to preach. I preached a message entitled, Where, Oh, Where? Preached a message on Peter walking on the water. Talked about, Where, Oh, Where are your eyes? Are your eyes fixed on the Lord? Are your eyes fixed on your problems? Developed a message. It took about a week and a half. Preached for about 5.5 minutes. And I'm pretty sure I repeated myself 3 times through. I mean, I was terrified. But I look now at 2017, 2016, 2015, on back to 2010. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has called me to serve Him. And I understand that some are not called to full-time service, but every Christian is called to serve. And in 2018, if you're not serving right now in 2017, find yourself actively serving the Lord Jesus Christ in 2018. Listen, if you are wanting to see God work and do miracles, find yourself serving Him. You'll see some miracles you never thought you'd see. You'll see some things you never thought you'd see. You'll see some people's lives change. You'll see yourself as seeing God work in a way that only He can work. I believe God will still save souls. I believe God will still search hearts. I believe God will still stir hearts. I believe God will still call servants. And I believe God will still work miracles. Jeremiah 33:3, one more time, the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Maybe you're praying right now and to you it might be a miracle. Maybe it's a long shot. Maybe it's something you're saying, Lord, I want this to happen. I believe it can happen, but Lord, it would be a miracle if it did happen. And He's saying, well, listen, there's no such thing as a miracle to me because I just continue working. He's saying, listen, just bring it to me. I'll work it out in my time. He's saying, listen, continue praying. I want you to be serious about this. I want to see if your heart is there. I want to see if your heart is cleansed. I want to see if your heart is stirred. I want to see if you're really involved and if you're really invested in this thing. He's saying, listen, it's not a miracle when God's doing it. It's just normal for me. That's what he's saying. Bring it to me. Call unto me and I will answer thee. You never have to wonder, like if I call unto Alexa, Alexa, there have been times where I say Alexa and she doesn't respond. That's not going to happen when I call unto the Lord. He'll respond every single time. And when he responds, he's not going to respond with negativity. He's going to be responding with what his will is. And so in your prayer and you're praying about something, don't say, Lord, I would... No, don't say, I. Say, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, what is your will in this matter? Lord, what is it that you have for me in this matter? Lord, I want to see you work this miracle, but Lord, what is it that you would have for us? Lord, what does this situation mean to you? Lord, what do you have? And he'll work it out. The list could go on. We could be talking about, I believe God will still answer prayers in your life because he's a personal God. You could talk about God and you can continue saying, I believe God expects holiness in our lives. I believe God expects godliness in our lives. I believe God loves us. I believe God strengthens us. I believe God will carry us. I believe God will help us. I believe God will continue to pray for us. All of these things, the list could go on and on. But very simple, don't find yourself asking if God can. He did it in 2017. He did it in 2016. He did it all the way back. And he can do it in 2018. As we close out this year, I pray that our prayer, our one phrase that we would use, I guess you would say, is I believe. I believe God can. I believe God will if it's His will. I believe God's capable of doing this. I believe God is able to do this because very simply, God is God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. The needs that you have right this very moment, He is personal to those needs. And I'm so thankful that when we call upon Him, He's going to answer us. And so as you close out 2018 and you, or 2017 and you're looking forward to 2018, very simply, three things. Trust Him in every single need that you have. Expect Him to work in every single need that you have. Expect Him to work in the ways that only He can work. And very simply, surrender your life to Him. If you just give your life, you say 1 year is a long time. I understand that. Start out by giving 1 month. Just say, Lord, I'm going to give my life to you the entire month of January. Lord, show me some things I've never seen. Lord, help me to be faithful in my Bible reading, to be faithful in prayer, to be faithful in church, to be faithful in every area of my life. Lord, just help me. Lord, I want to surrender just 1 month. Lord, help me to do that. You know, after that first month, you'll want to surrender that second month. After that second month, you'll want to surrender that third month. After that third month, very shortly after, you'll want to surrender your entire life. Because once you see God working, you never want to get over that. And He's desiring to work in 2018 like He's never worked in 2017 for you. He's desiring to do things that only He can do, that not so that you look at your life and say, well, look at what God's doing in my life. But you look at your life and say, look at what God's doing right now. Look at who I get to serve. Look at the Lord that I have. Look at the Savior that sent His, or that went and came and was born to die. Look at what He's doing. Look at the miracles that He's done. Hey, you know what those miracles may be? Those miracles might just be that you have really good health. That miracle that you're praying about, it might not be real big to someone else. But you know what? In our lives, when you see God working, you're desiring to see Him work, you're more open to seeing every single thing that He's able to do and everything He's wanting to do. And so in 2018, my phrase, I guess you would say, that I pray that I keep is I believe. I believe God can. I believe God will. I believe God will. And I pray that you will too.